the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get at it, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It's Friday, September 13th. We are coming at you from the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, British Columbia. We are ready to kick off the 2024 Young Stars Classic, including the Calgary Flames, Winnipeg Jets, Edmonton Oilers, and host Vancouver Canucks. And we've got a lot to talk about this hour. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Here in Penticton with me is Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. And it's a Friday, and also here at the South Okanagan Event Center, Eric Francis is with us. It's time for the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Take the short drive to Lacombe and check out live standardbred racing every weekend at Track On 2. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. Hello, Mr. Francis.
How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Mr. Vickers.
Hello, Patrick. Hello. And Eric.
How we doing, boys?
Life's good. Vix and I just had a lovely lunch over at Salty's. Anyone who's ever been to Penticton's got to know Salty's.
You'd think.
Legendary.
I
like, staple.
I thought you were going to the Match Eatery.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, Thanks, Eric.
We both told you that we weren't interested in lunch with you. So
here
that
I
we could have
here
lunch
I was.
Together.
Here I was. I have this great... The three of us had a great breakfast date today. And now that breakfast date has been ruined.
Hey, we had a great lunch date.
This incredible moment in my life has been tainted by your lies and deceit.
Two of us have had incredible pair of meals today.
Now, in all fairness, I was going to head over there, and I did randomly get a text message from EF, which changed the course of my entire day.
When someone offers to go to lunch with you at Salty's.
You were going to say, take me to Salty's.
No,
we split bills.
Yeah, I didn't pay.
Was this before or after our phone call?
I don't know. You know what? Semantics. Doesn't matter. The point is,
that sounds
you
guilty.
Weren't interested in joining us, so that's okay.
I was.
But
I was.
I'm so excited to be in a rink about to watch hockey. Like, I know.
Okay, so you be honest with me. Are you ready for hockey to start?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Because I know there are some who are like, I'm not ready for it to start. And
I get
you know,
it.
Where's my life going? There's a lot of that going on. But,
sure.
But you know, I'm also ready. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, I'm not sure. Obviously, anyone listening is not excited about this game right now that they're playing in a couple hours. But, you know.
I think there are a lot of people who are excited.
They want to hear about who stood out, who did this, who did that.
Right.
So I get that people are, listen, the focal point of this organization now shifts to these kids. And it's exciting. The unknown is very exciting. And I'm kind of happy to be here to kind of start telling people what we're seeing, what we can expect from certain players, what style of play they play. You know, we hear about it at the draft. We read about it. We talk to them about it. But until you start seeing it, you know, it's hard to get excited about all these unknowns. So those unknowns start to get – we start to get some answers starting today.
Well, guys, let's – and maybe you guys already talked about this over lunch. But
we covered
We
so
actually
much.
Recorded our own private podcast.
You want to just play that? And
yeah.
I was over at having a delicious vanilla latte at Blend's Coffee, slaving away on this program. I hope your Salty's lunch was good. I do.
Sounds like somebody else is a little salty.
Very much so. Guys, the three of us at breakfast, you know, all of a sudden Eric Francis pulls out this, like,
He's got it here.
He do have it here.
Don't say the name of the hotel.
It's like 3 inches by 6 inches.
So he pulls out this
hotel stationery.
This Ritz-Carlton. We're staying at the Ritz Penticton. And he pulls out this stationery and all of a sudden, and a pen. And he's like, okay, boys. I got a test for you. Well, let's do Flames line combinations, and it's actually a really worthwhile exercise. I think it's a good way to kick things off on this program today, because as we get set for Calgary's first of three games here in Penticton, and as we get ready for main camp starting next week, you know, I don't know where Matt Coronato, who is not here at this event, but I don't know where he fits in the opening top 12. I don't know where Jacob Pelche, who as of Friday at 3, after 3 o'clock Calgary time, that contract has still not been announced, even though Elliot Friedman tweeted it out yesterday. I don't know where Jacob Pelche fits into this conversation, let alone some of the players that will be playing at forward for the Flames during this Young Stars Classic. I think, Francis, that conversation also applies maybe even more so to the blue line and where guys fit in. So it really is interesting when you take a look at the number of veterans that are coming to camp, and yet you're right, the focal point of this organization is the youth. I'm really curious how this weekend here in the Okanagan plays into, or if it plays into at all, how things go during main camp.
Well, listen, I think we should point out, the second half of the show today, we're going to talk about the young stars, who we expect to stand out here, what we expect to see, because I think people really want to hear about that, and who are the names that we're going to start hearing more and more of as the year goes on. But I think it also stands, and I bring that up only because I don't think anybody playing here today is going to be on the opening night roster. In fact, I'd bet my life on it.
Ooh. Like,
well, I shouldn't say that. I bet a lot. It's not worth a lot. No, I bet a lot on it. That you're not going to see one of these guys crack the opening night roster. Now, I guess you could. They could give a Brustavich or a Parikh, you know, some time to just play a handful of games before they send them back.
A dip a toe. Here's what to expect. Here's what to work on when you go back.
To reward them for what would have to be an incredible camp. I just don't know if you want – I don't know if that really serves them well unless they are absolutely, you know, standing out and two of the best players in camp. Because otherwise I think you can really do some damage by putting them up at this speed, this level, this size too quickly. Either way, the lineup is going to be all guys, you know, they either signed in free agency or guys that were here last year. I don't think people are excited to hear that necessarily. Do you think that that's
I guess that includes Coronato and Pelche in that conversation. Right?
Those guys are like on the outside looking in to me for the opening night lineup. Again, unless they have a great camp, I know the organization wants them both in the opening night lineup.
Right.
There's no question about that. They're not here at this tournament this weekend. We should point that out. Continually, because I think a lot of people don't really know. The real diehards have looked at the roster, but I've said the casual fans are not looking to see who's going to be here. But anyway, my point is, I do think there will be room for players that are playing in this game today and this here this weekend to make appearances for the Flames one-off, two-off with injuries over the course of the year. But I don't think any of them can be penciled in opening night, nor do I think any of them are going to play the bulk of this season as Calgary Flames. Do you disagree, Vix?
No, I think that's a fair assertion, and I do agree that should there be a player, whether it's a Parikh or somebody else, get a little sample of what the NHL is like before being redirected to whether it's the CHL or whatever junior team you're going back to or the American Hockey League team to set a sort of a plateau or a standard of what the expectation is at the NHL level. Go back, work on that, and if you're going back to junior, it's okay, this is where we need you to be next season, or if it's the AHL, here's a checklist of things we want you to work on, and if you work through that list appropriately, we will find a way to give you an opportunity down the road should one arise. But I'm not expecting anybody in Penticton to be an opening night roster or play 82 games with the Calgary Flames next season.
No, and I had a good long chat with Craig Conroy today about, you know, are there openings for the kids this year? And they always want to leave those open. But right now, there are no opening. When we start to read out our prospective lines, you'll see, like, who's going to get bumped? I'm not saying it's the greatest lineup ever assembled. I'm just saying these are veterans on one-way contracts. Conroy says, look, if guys blow our socks off, that'll make my job harder, and I'll have to find a way to give them room. But like last year, they didn't start the season. You know, Zeri didn't start the season with the team. Coronato did, but didn't stick. Anyway,
Pospisil didn't start the season.
Pospisil did not start.
No, but injuries gave them a chance, and they grasped it and took advantage of it like we haven't seen in a lot of years. So it will be a real tough task unless there are significant injuries for a youngster to make an appearance early this season. But, hey, a real good showing here or in camp bodes well. And what I do want to talk in the second half of the show is who's on the top of your list as the first guy you think you will see from Penticton in a Flames lineup.
Which
we'll talk about that later.
And absolutely, and I'm looking forward to that. And I think here's the situation, because you're right. I think there's a lot of people who share that same sentiment, guys, that, you know, you take a look at the number. Let's just look, first of all, at forward. You take a look at the number of veterans assembled, especially after signing Mantha, especially after bringing in Lomberg, and you look at the veterans and say, well, where does player A or player B necessarily fit? A guy who wasn't, a Jacob Pelche or a Matt Coronato or somebody else who wasn't a regular last year, how do they become a regular this year on the roster? And honestly, I guess I'm not worried about it the same way. If I'm a fan, if I put myself in a fan's set of shoes and I say, I want my team to be young, I want my team to give opportunity to young players who deserve it and not have them buried down the lineup or buried in the American League. Prior regimes, and this is not a criticism, but prior regimes, I would have understood that skepticism. But in this one, Francis, what Connie told you earlier on Friday, I really do believe is the mantra. If Matt Coronato is one of their 12 best forwards in training camp, I think Matt Coronato will be one of their 12 forwards on opening night. And the same is true for Pelche. I don't think they'll hesitate scratching a Kevin Rooney or moving another player down the lineup to make room fits best. Hunt or Doer or, you know, even if it's, you know, if the ideal was Mantha's going to be playing with Huberdeau, but it doesn't work in training camp, and Coronato and Huberdeau have a great connection, I think they'll make the room, because I do think, even though there are veterans on this team, I don't know, Francis and Vix, I'm curious if you guys both agree with this. Like, I don't feel like they're beholden to those veterans like they have been before because of what we saw last year in Craig's first season.
I completely agree, and yeah, you just look through the fact that, okay, even to take it one step further, if Pelche or Coronato aren't one of the 12 best, injuries happen, trades are sure to happen for this Calgary Flames team over the course of the next 9 months or so. So there will be an opportunity for young players to get in the lineup. It's more of a matter of when for me, not so much if. But yeah, if Coronato comes out and proves that he's a top nine player on this team, you make room to give him a spot in the top nine, and it's his until he loses it. Same with Jacob Pelche. And for me, I see a bit more clear path for Pelche, because for me, he's more competing in that fourth line left wing role with the likes of Dryden Hunt, with Walker Doer. Adam Klapka is a name that I think will come up as we go through training camp as well. Whereas for me, if I'm putting Matt Coronato in my lineup, I don't necessarily want or think the best fit is on that fourth line. So he's going to be one that does have to beat out one of these top nine established veterans in camp if he wants one of those prominent roles. But I don't see a scenario any way, shape, or form where if Matt Coronato doesn't earn it, he doesn't get it. The Calgary Flames are all about building for the future. So why would you put a roadblock in front of a first-round pick who's earned the opportunity when you are trying to develop him for the next phase of the organization?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I think Coronato and Pelche are the two guys you guys keep mentioning, and I 100% agree. All things being equal, they're going to get the nod over somebody else. Guaranteed, because the future is starting now, and they want to start building that future, and that means getting guys like that more acclimated to the NHL, getting more reps, getting more comfortable, and having success in the National Hockey League. So 100% agree with that. One of the guys who I expect a bounce-back year for, and nobody's talking about him, I really think Walker Doer. I absolutely loved what he brought 2 years ago. For whatever reason, he wasn't bringing it last year, or they didn't feel he was bringing it. Whatever the case was, the chemistry wasn't there. He had an obscene amount of goals as a fourth liner playing limited minutes 2 years ago.
Yeah,
he was on, like, his goal total extrapolated over an 82-game season was something like 19 or 21 for a fourth liner in limited minutes. Yeah, absolutely.
And he brought energy, and he was hitting guys. And, you know, if he brings that again, I think he's a – I don't want to say he's a fixture on that fourth line, but I think he could be a really positive addition to this lineup. So I don't know if you want to start going through some of the lines or if that's a fool's errand. Obviously, it's a bit of a fool's errand because the – things will switch daily all through camp and maybe even through exhibition games, obviously different lineups. And I think even early in the season, you're going to see all sorts of mixing and matching. That's just going to it's the way it's going to be.
So did you settle on what your lines would be? After
We tell you you're wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely can.
So what did you settle on?
I like Huberdeau, Zeri, and Mantha. Let me start again, because we just automatically put Huberdeau on what we consider the top line, because he's the top-paid guy. I think that's a third line. So I'm going to say I think the number one line on the team, I think the number one line on the team is going to be Coleman, Backlund, Sharangovich.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're going to be slated as number one. They're going to go up against some top, you know, opponents, you know, the good matchups. But I like that line. Second, whatever you want to label them, Kuzmenko on the left, Kadri in the middle, Coronado on the right, mm-hmm. Huberdeau on the left for line three, with Zeri in the middle and Mantha on the right. And the fourth line, I like Lomberg, Pospisil in the middle, and Pelche on the right. And Pelche, I like Dewar on the right as well there. I would think Dewar will be on the opening night roster, I think, as their 13th guy, if he's not the 12th guy.
Yep.
And I like that. I you know, Rooney, Hunt, hey, I think these are serviceable guys. They both proved a lot last year, I thought. But I see them as being extras, one of them extra. And, hey, there's going to be an injury or two in there, so I still think they'll be in the mix right till the very end, and
right,
if not start the season with the team.
It's there's a lot of things. So I think of all the names that we just threw out, guys, Pospisil is the one that is maybe most interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because what he did with Kadri last year, you know, everybody talks about how Kadri and Zeri were a really good fit, and they were, but the guys that were attached at the hip and never were really disconnected were Kadri and Pospisil. Mm-hmm. When they moved Zeri to center, or when they moved Zeri around, Kuzmenko moved onto that line with Kadri and Pospisil, and they really worked as a 5-on-5 trio. But you're also looking to find new center icemen on this team, and you know, with both Zeri and Pospisil, that's something that we're absolutely going to see during training camp. Guys, I really wonder about Pospisil down the middle, and are you taking away his effectiveness by putting him as your number four center? That's my only question, and I don't know if you are. I know that's a lot of one of the things that a lot of Pospisil fans are wondering, though, is if you're taking away his impact if you're putting him as your fourth center.
Sorry, and I'll let you go, Vixie, but I think I agree with you. I don't like Pospisil on the fourth line. He was arguably the most exciting player the Calgary Flames had last year, but I do think you're going to see these four lines get pretty similar ice time this year, especially with the investment they made in Lomberg. Like, that to me is a hell of an energy line. Lomberg, Pospisil, and Pelche. They're going out and crashing and banging and hitting everything. Pelche with his speed, Pospisil with his speed. Lomberg is a little buzzsaw. Like, I really like that combination. And if you factor in that, I do believe you're going to get some pretty similar ice time. They're not going to get just 5 minutes a night on the fourth line. I think you're going to see them get much more than that, and that's why you can justify it. Listen, I'm going to go on record saying I don't like Pospisil as a centerman, but having chatted with Craig Conroy today, it's pretty clear to me they really like the possibility of Martin Pospisil up the middle. And this organization needs more guys up the middle. It's the biggest hole they have in this entire organization is up the middle. And if you've got guys like Zeri and Pospisil who can fill that role, even though one of them is probably going to have to play the third or fourth line, I'm okay with that in their first full year as a centerman.
See, I kind of go back and forth on the Pospisil conversation with moving him down the middle because, like you said, he was so effective with Kadri and Kuzmenko mm-hmm. when that trio was rolled out together. I think it was somewhere in mid-March, somewhere in there. And to take that away from that kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit.
100%.
But at the same time,
they want both those guys in the middle.
I heard Pospisil played quite well down the middle at the World Championship for Slovakia. I heard it through the grapevine. And he was still able to do all the things down the middle for Slovakia on bigger ice that he did on the wing on NHL ice during the course of the season, which lends me to believe you're not significantly pulling away from his game and what you're asking him to do. He can still be that same effective player. So it's something I certainly absolutely want to see in preseason and exhibition games, him down the middle and seeing how he fares and how he deals with NHL-level competition in a similar role. But again, going back, like, Kadri, Kuzmenko, Pospisil as a trio together were very, very productive in the short time they were together. So for a team that might be looking to find some offense, and again, that's not to say that you can't go back to it for shifts or periods when you need a bit of a spark, because like you, I look and go Pospisil, Lomberg, and Pelche. Like, you can't tell me that that's not going to be grab your popcorn and enjoy that for 10 minutes a night, because that's going to be entertaining as well. So I go back and forth on it a little bit. I see the merits of it, and it's something I'd certainly experiment with if I were the Calgary Flames. I just don't know at the end of the day where I land on it. I have to kind of see the progression of it as it happens.
Comes down to me is there somebody that kind of pops so much in training camp for them we need to put this player in the top nine,
yeah,
and that's going to maybe displace Pospisil and put him as the number four center. Because
Coronato to me.
It is to me, too.
If you look at my little sheet here, it says Pospisil next to Kadri because I love the combination, and I prefer Pospisil on the wing, first man in, crashing and banging. But then, you know, you got to find a place for Coronato in the top nine. The organization so badly wants this guy to really start making some strides, and you're going to do that through reps. So, sorry to interrupt, but that's where I see it.
He's the guy, too, for me. If Coronato has another great camp and kind of continues what he did last year in the back half of the season, back month and a half of the season, and brings that in to this year, then I think that you might be in a tough spot other than moving Pospisil to the middle. Like, you're all of a sudden now, you are talking about too many cooks in the kitchen. And obviously injuries happen, and certain players may not be ready to start the season with. That all happens, but we can't necessarily forecast that. I'm really curious as to whether or not one of these guys, or both of these guys, being Coronato and Pelche, can make the type of impression that says, I need to be here, and thus has Craig Conroy and company kind of adjusting things from where they might have been to finish last year or whatever the case may be. But that's what you want. You want to have that type of competition in training camp. That's going to be the way that you start to build some accountability this season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I don't know if you guys had written down your lines or anything like that, but, you know, when I do read those lines out, what is the number one line? It's got to be Kadri.
Yeah.
But is it Kadri, Kuzmenko, and Coronato?
For me, it's any line that Kadri's on now is the number one
line. I think that's just going to be the way it's always going to
be. That could be the number one line, but for me, the most important line would be Backlund, Coleman, whomever.
Yeah.
100%. It has been for years.
Yes.
And they never get the credit that they deserve for it. I mean, Coleman got 30 goals last year on the quote-unquote third line. I mean, don't tell me that's a third
line. Not a whole lot of power play time sprinkled in there either.
It's the most important line on the organization, and I think moving forward it's going to be even more important because they need somebody who can to continue to do what they do, which is shut down the other team's top line while also being productive offensively.
Well, it's funny, though. So say hypothetically Sharon Govich is the guy on the left with Backlund and Coleman. Backlund suddenly centering two 30-goal guys. And so how is that not your number one line?
That's right.
When you've got two 30-goal scorers on
it. That's right. Yep. And it's a great line. And, you know, forget about the stigma of saying that they're the third line. I mean, that is your best line. And, you know, Kadri with Coronato. Coronato is a very big question mark right now. Look, I do think that he will crack the top nine through camp. He had a great camp last year, and there's no reason to say he can't have a good camp this year. Especially the way he progressed as the season went on, as you pointed out. But, you know, I think if you were to pick up those magazines that are printed 2 months ago, you know, the preseason magazines, I think they still make those, do they?
Somebody does.
I keep referencing those as well, and every time I do, I'm like, do they still make
those? This is funny. I looked last week for one.
Yep.
I thought, oh, man, I haven't bought one of those in years. But, you know, I'm just going to buy one. I'm up at the cabin, and I'm going to just look and remind myself who went where in the off season. There wasn't a single magazine out there. And I think they're coming any day now, but they're not as readily available as they used to be. But anyway, those will always put, like, Huberdeau on the top line with Mantha, with whoever they decide they think is going in the middle.
Yeah.
They'll probably put Kadri in there because they don't really know from a national perspective. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know that Kadri and Huberdeau has not worked, and I don't think the organization.
Why?
I'm assuming.
At this point.
I don't think anyone thinks that it ever will work, or I shouldn't say that it ever will, but I don't think that the organization is going to spend too much time trying to force it and figure that out. So, you know, it would be ideal if you could get either Zeri or Pospisil. So, listen, if you had a choice and you could only put one up the middle, which is a very real possibility,
of Zeri and Pospisil.
Yeah, which one do you think is a better centerman? And which one do you think will be a better centerman? I mean, we haven't seen enough body of work to.
That's a good question. I'm going to say instinctually lean Zeri.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I.
Me too.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But again, I'm talking to Conroy. He went on and on, as he does, about how you know, all the reasons why he thought Pospisil would be a really good center. He didn't say that Zeri wouldn't be. He thinks highly of him too. But I just asked specifically about Pospisil.
But isn't it interesting because in, what was it, somewhere around March when we saw lines in morning skate, we were trying to figure out, well, who's going to be the fourth, not the fourth center, but who's going to play center for the Calgary Flames tonight? And, you know, we do the avail with head coach Ryan Huska, and he goes, oh, Zary's going to play down the middle. And somebody asked, I think it was me, but I don't want to take credit for it. Like, would you consider Pospisil for that spot? And at that point, it didn't seem like Ryan Huska was considering Martin Pospisil as a potential center in the NHL. But then you get some tape, you get some sample size on him from the World Championship, where he was one of Slovakia's most impactful players playing that role. Suddenly things can change a little bit.
And Conroy said today that both those guys absolutely 100% see themselves as centers.
Yep.
I hadn't heard that about Pospisil before. I know Zary feels that way. I didn't know that.
Pospisil
felt that way, so that was interesting to hear from Conroy as well.
It's funny, we're talking about the forward lines and the potential of a young player breaking through. It feels like even more difficult to see it on the back end with, you know, bringing Tyson Barry in, bringing Jared Tenorti in, signing Jake Bean. You know, it does feel like, plus Hanley and Pahal left over from last year, so on and so forth, It feels like if you're a Hunter Brustevich, who has granted played zero professional hockey games, so it would be a lot to ask for him to crack an NHL roster at the age of 20. But Perek, Brustevich, some of these younger defensemen, Jeremy Poirier, who's not here, but there's another name that you could point out, feels like it's going to be even more of an uphill climb in terms of competition and trying to make a spot for yourself in this camp.
Yeah, I agree. They've gone and signed guys that. Like, when I look at the possible list of defensemen, like, nowhere near my top eight is the lad they signed just the other day.
Tenorti.
And hey, Jared Tenorti was a first-rounder a lot of years ago. He's, what, 33 now?
Yep, 2010 first-round pick.
I agree that he brings a lot of things that the Calgary Flames actually are probably missing, like toughness, and I don't think they're missing leadership, but he brings some leadership, some character. By all accounts, he's a real... guys love him, but I do not see how you put him ahead of like eight different guys on my list here right now, including Joel Hanley, who I'm not sure he's on many people's lists at all, but he's got a one-way contract for one more year, and so you got to deal with that.
Well, and you've got Tyson Barry coming in on a PTO as well. We'll see how that plays out, but now you're adding another body to the mix.
So the pairs that I have, Uyghur, Miramanov, Pat and I have talked about this a lot. They did have chemistry last year. Conroy reiterated that this morning. Those two together, he really likes. I don't know who's going to play with Anderson, and I think it would be Jake Bean, but it could be Ball.
Yep.
I'm not sure. And on the right side of that third pairing, if you want to call it that, could be Tyson Barry or it could be Pahal. I think it will be Pahal. I think it should be Pahal. To me, Barry's going to have one hell of a preseason. His game's been deteriorating for several years. I know he's a great guy. I love talking to him in the room. All around the league, he's been one of the most affable guys to talk to. He's an offensive specialist, and I think they want to leave a lot of room on that blue line for guys like Uyghur to continue being an offensive threat with 20 goals last year. Anderson, they want to see him shoot more and still anchor the power play, if not on the first unit, then the second unit. But they also want Miramanov to anchor a power play unit. And so where's the room for a Barry when you got those three guys who you want to give power play time to? Because really, Barry's there to run the power play and nothing else other than leadership. Do you see it that way? Like, to me, I don't see it being the fit. A lot of people are saying, well, what a great signing. If they sign him after this PTO, then they flip him at the deadline. I'm like, really? Well, no team wants him right now. What do you think you're going to flip him for at the deadline?
Well, I guess my counter to that would be is looking at the names that you've mentioned, Barry's the only guy that's had really significant proven success as a power play quarterback.
Sure.
But at the same time, do you want to deprive some of your other players of that opportunity
as well?
So, and then suddenly we haven't even talked about Solovyov yet, who's yet to be signed but requires waivers to go down. And so that's another wrinkle in the fact that, okay, he's a young 23-ish defenseman who just sort of made his way to the NHL, not in a full-time capacity. But now that's another name on top of all those that you've mentioned that are fighting and competing for eight roster spots potentially if the Calgary Flames carry a full 23-man roster.
Yeah.
All the more reason why I don't sign Barry. You know, and hey, there is also a chance Barry could come in, have a pretty good camp, and then someone else could sign him.
That's right? True, too.
That's happened before.
Yep.
We saw that a couple of years ago with Sonny Milano. Now, I don't think Milano necessarily had the best camp with Calgary, but he parlayed his PTO with the Calgary Flames into a contract with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, for a couple of years, right? Yep. So, it can happen. I don't know what, if that's the case, then what was the benefit of bringing in a camp at all, other than the fact that he was a good guy for 2 or 3 weeks and people liked him and maybe guys got a kick out of playing with him. I don't know. I just, I don't want to sound like I'm down on Barry because I guess the upside on him could be amazing. But here goes back to the big, big question mark, which is really what are you trying to accomplish as the Calgary Flames? I look at this entire team through the lens that what is going to make this team better in 2 or 3 years? Whereas management and coaching staff looks at it like what is going to make us the best possible team starting on opening night and going through the next 82 games, right? But I think fans are more with me in that we're like, why are you, this year doesn't matter. Next year doesn't matter. You don't want to make the playoffs. I really look at it that way, that you shouldn't want to make the playoffs. But this is an organization that will never, ever agree to that sort of outlook. Never.
It's fascinating to me because I think what, If I'm to read between the lines, conversations with Craig, looking at the roster, conversations with other people, knowing what we think we know about what the organization wants, like, I think what they're trying to do right now is put together a team that isn't going to get their doors blown off every single night, has enough of a veteran group that they can insulate their young players so they're not putting young guys in spots to fail early. And look, I don't want to take a shot at Edmonton because the Oilers just played in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. But for the longest time, prior to Connor McDavid getting there, you know, a lot of people just got put in the lineup because they were under the age of 23 or under the age of 24. And the Buffalo Sabres and Arizona Coyotes have been wandering in the desert for similar reasons because they've just put guys in. Oh, you're young. Well, we're going to be a young team. We're rebuilding. And I think the Flames, whether this works or not, I think what they're trying to do is give younger players an opportunity to succeed by not pushing them into spots where they're over their head. And that's why some of these guys are here. And that's why they're all on short-term contracts.
Love it. Yeah.
And so, again, I don't know if that is going to be the right way to get them from point A and point B being a competitive team in 3 or 4 years. But I think that's what their attempt is right now.
And there's certainly merit to that. Listen, if you make this a place where you're losing games at a clip like the San Jose Sharks, then even your veterans who you consider to be cornerstones of your franchise because they're teaching the youngsters, they're setting the tone and the standard for the organization, they're not even going to want to be here if you're going 15 and 65 or whatever the numbers are, right? So I think there's still an element of straddling both sides of this.
Right.
It's I'm not sure that's been proven a lot over the NHL. They always point to Dallas being able to do that. They tried to straddle a rebuild while also staying
remaining competitive. They also had a historic draft year.
And then they had that incredible draft year. And, hey, the way the Flames are stockpiling draft picks and some of the talent we're going to start seeing in a couple hours here, maybe the Calgary Flames just pulled off something similar. I don't know. But, they're criticized, I think, in some circles for trying to straddle and rebuild at the same time as being competitive because – in some ways, that's what we've seen here for 30 years. Not to this extent, though. They've ripped off the Band-Aid and started a rebuild, and that's the real positive news in all this, and they're doing it by insulating the guys with the veterans. It's a smart ploy, I think.
Well, let's transition the conversation from that to what we might see this weekend here in the South Okanagan. It's the Eric Francis Hour. Eric Francis, Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca with us. Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg along with you. This is Flames Talk. We're underway this hour, and the Eric Francis Hour is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Take the short drive to Lacombe and check out live standardbred racing every weekend at Track on 2. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18+. Please play responsibly.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's the Eric Francis Hour. Whoa, there's a prepubescent voice crack. Let's try that again. It's the Eric Francis Hour with Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. I'm your teenage host, Pat Steinberg, with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. Boys, Young Stars Classic starts on Friday night here at the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton. That's where Flames Talk coming at you here on this Friday, September 13th. Let's just dive into it. You know, what are we most excited to see from this group of prospects from the Calgary Flames? And, EF, I'll throw it to you right away because you've been covering this team longer than either Vix or I have. But we've all been on this beat for quite a while. It's been a while since there's been a prospect that maybe carries the buzz with him that Zane Parekh does, their first-round pick from Vegas earlier this summer. Is that fair to say from your perspective?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Listen, I think that the guy who we're probably going to see first out of this entire group play in the National Hockey League is going to be Sam Honzek. But I do think that the excitement revolves largely around Parekh. I think Rustavich is probably second on that list. Honzek, though, people forget, 2 years ago, he was their first-round draft pick and just had a horrific season last year with injuries and just a season to forget. Actually, when I was talking to him today, he said he didn't really want to talk about the past because he's not trying to think about last year at all, just look ahead. And listen, Andrew Bashaw is another guy that everybody's really excited about because he's a Calgary kid.
Shout out Garrison Pub.
That's right. There's so many interesting stories about him out there, and we're gonna watch him so closely. Jaden Lipinski, another guy. Like, the list is filled with guys who, once you start to look into their numbers and stuff, Matvei Gridin, is it Gridin?
I think we're going with Gridin.
Gridin?
Matvei Gridin is what we're going with.
He's going to play on the top line today. I know you're going to go through the lines. That's your specialty. by the way, Pat just tweeted out the lines for tonight's.
I did that more so for your benefit than
I retweeted him because that's your first of the year, and I know that you love tweeting out lines more than anybody in the National Hockey League.
It is kind of fun.
And for you to finally get your first one out of the season, I know how excited you are.
So beating.
It's like I'm in withdrawal for the entire summer. So
you got that out.
I got my first
within
hit.
Seconds.
Let's go.
Yeah, I didn't even see you type that. It was so quick. But yeah, Parekh.
I may have had it ready to go earlier.
Parekh's the guy. And funny, talking to him this morning, I said, have you been people recognize you in Calgary? He goes, oh, my God. Like, he's in the spotlight more than anybody here. And one of the biggest spotlights in the organization moving forward, he kind of represents future hope for this organization as a cornerstone, someone you build around. And he said that he's getting stopped nonstop in Calgary already. You think about that, right? He's been a Calgary Flame for a matter of months.
Yeah, he's 18 years
old. That's right, he's 18. He came out for Stampede for a little bit, and he said it was nonstop, and he loves it. He loves the spotlight. This is a guy whose confidence is just, as he said, I heard him say yesterday, I'm the most confident guy in every room I've ever in. Like, that's, I said, how do you balance between that and being too cocky? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be that's kind of question I think we're going to be asking in the future with this guy, because he is so confident, but he says off the ice he's very he's a little more humble and quiet.
Well, it's funny you say it that way, because you can't play the style of game Zane Parekh does without the confidence level being there, without the I'm
the
fine
swagger.
With being in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Because
not
without
all that
you don't do
than,
it.
Than the guy who used to wear 19, is it? Like, different games that they played on the ice, but the first thing that I noticed from sitting in Buffalo, New York with Matthew Tkachuk on his draft day was like, holy cow, this guy's got some swagger. Like, he and that's not a criticism at all, mm-hmm. because that's a superstar quality. And you know, I know that not every guy carries himself this way or that way, but you know, When you have that swagger and you can back it up, there's something to be said for that. And I think Matthew Tkachuk, from 18 years old, had that swagger and was able to back it up and has been able to his entire career. So I like that element from Parekh, guys, because to this point, he's been able to back it up. We don't know how it's going to go and if it's going to follow the same trajectory as Matthew or not, but boy, it's a nice thing to have. I'm all for that type of swagger in this day and age.
Yeah, you got to back it up, but you're right. I do like it. I think it's going to, you know, it also makes him pretty marketable. he's going to be a guy who's going to be in front of the microphone all the time. He's never going to back down and be shy. And that's what you need also for a cornerstone player. Not everybody does it, but he's clearly going to be okay with doing it. I love, you know, it's game one of the young stars, but I love that they put him with Yanni Jormo. So you know, who's known as a very defensive, off the glass defenseman who can, you know, insulate or give the green light to a guy like Parekh to go and be as offensive as he wants to be. That's the kind of combination you're always going to see when Parekh's on the ice.
Well, and to double down on that, Brustevich is with Grishnikov, who's very much of that pedigree as well. So the Calgary Flames are very keen to see what their offensive-minded defenseman can do when they have a partner that's more than willing to handle some of the heavy lifting in the defensive end. And, you know, if you're a Parekh and you get caught up ice, you know that your partner will be back there and he's dependable and reliable. So it allows you, if you're one of the more offensive Klein defensemen for the Calgary Flames in this Young Stars Classic, to play the game that you're meant to play. And that's what the Calgary Flames want to see out of the players here, is do what got you here. Don't be a wallflower if your game is Zane Parekh and you're going to backhand sauce, no look across, you know, 50 feet ice.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it because that's what it got you here. But at the same time, if you're Yoni Yermo, be that dependable guy for Zane Parekh, because that's why you were acquired in the Chris Tanev trade, is because we see you as a defensive stalwart that can really help us out from our own blue line in. So play that game as well.
Yeah.
And it just lends to a very interesting blend, especially on the blue line for the Calgary Flames here for me.
I think it needs to be said, too, as we go into this tournament, you know, talking to people from other organizations and other media types and other, like, you know, front office people and anyone I've kind of run into here, like, the Calgary Flames are not expected to do very well in terms of the scores of these games. And that is so irrelevant. We all
right.
know that. Nobody's coming here hoping to win the trophy.
You don't get to hoist the whatever, Stanley Cup at the Young Stars Classic.
Whatever the trophy's called here, if there even is one, nobody cares. But because all the other teams here, the other three teams, all have players that are 22, 23, 24 almost entirely. This Calgary Flames team has eight players from this year's draft.
From this year's draft.
Eight 18-year-olds.
This year's draft. 18-year-olds aplenty.
Yep.
All through this lineup, there's a bunch of 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds. Only one player on the Calgary Flames roster is a free agent, like a guy who's not a draft pick of the Calgary Flames. That has not been the case for this organization
for
years and years and years. Usually you riddle these lineups with free agents, you know, to take a look at guys, but also just because you don't have enough prospects in your pipeline. Very different this year. They're like, we only have room for one other guy. We want to see all our guys. So that's going to be interesting. If they can fare well against these teams and hold their own, that's great. No one really cares about the score, but they are definitely mismatched on paper. The skill is over the top for the Calgary Flames, but the inexperience,
the maturity is
not there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see how that kind of how it shows itself in these games.
So who else are we looking forward to seeing? What other names have you put asterisks beside?
If I were to make a prediction of one guy who I think is going to stand out in this game today, I would say Hanzek. You know, just even standing in front of Hanzek, 6'4", what is he now? 215, 220. I don't know what his weight is, but he's 6'4".
He's a big boy.
He's a big, big boy, and apparently in the testing, he blew the doors off of everybody else.
Well, he spent a lot of time with Martin Pospisil this summer.
Yeah. Wes had a great story on that today. And, you know, just talking to the guys about the testing, though, like in the speed bike, I guess, no one came even remotely close to Hanzek. And so they're really excited about seeing the power and the speed that this guy can start to generate as he gets more and more confident and up to speed with pro hockey players down the road. So that's a guy who I'm putting on top of my list of the guy who I think at the end of today's game, I bet we're talking about Hanzek. And I think no matter what happens, we'll be talking about Parekh, whether it's a good game, a bad game, or just a beige game where we don't even notice him very often.
And not to piggyback off you there, Francis, but Hanzek is the one that I'm most curious about seeing in this game, just because there's a lot of expectation for him last year at this time, and maybe didn't blow the doors off of the Young Stars, and maybe didn't blow the doors off of training camp, and then, of course, had that up and down. I don't even know if it's fair to say up and down. It was just injury after injury and stop-start kind of season where he never really found any traction. So having the ability this summer to go spend so much time with Martin Pospisil, who, and make no mistake, they'll push each other in the gym and then having him come back and as you mentioned, run through a little bit of the fitness testing results where he certainly showed himself quite well and proper. Now that he's back here with a year under his belt, now that he's focusing more on being a pro hockey player as opposed to the potential of going back to the Vancouver Giants, he's a player that I'm most interested in seeing from the forward core.
Yeah, and Brustavich, too, is another guy who I really want to see. You know, I know when they drafted him, look, his offensive upside is through the roof and his numbers are fantastic. But he led the OHL last year in assists, you know. But I when you read the real draft experts, people like yourself, Vixie, and guys who just cover the prospects, they say that he projects as a third pairing defenseman, you know, who can run a power play. And that seems like they're really limiting the guy. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what I read, and I'm interested to see what I think his ceiling is.
See, and I more take away from his game last year at this time, and again, I didn't spend a whole lot of time watching him in the OHL this past season because my views typically skew towards the draft-eligible players, and he was already a drafted prospect. But seeing him a year ago, I more got like the number four potential defenseman. Maybe he can make some refinements in his game and be a three. So again, it'll be interesting to see him here. This is my first time seeing him live in a calendar year. So you want to see progression. You want to see where he is versus where he was. And so as much as we're all excited to see Parekh as well, Brustavich is somebody that I'll be keying in on as well.
Yeah. How about you, Pat? Is there anybody that kind of...
Yep.
Listen, there's a list full of guys. I want to see all of them.
I've got 13 names that I'm going to be keying in on in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no shortage.
But Gridin or Gridin, whatever you were, wherever. Gridin. Matvei, I'm going to call
Matvei.
Him.
Matvei.
He was a first-round draft pick of the Calgary Flames this year, but, you know, it was late in the first round, and, of course, the entire focus was on Parekh and the raft of guys that the Calgary Flames came back from Vegas with. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle, in my opinion, and I just sensed from talking to him today that he's like, I just really, really want to show people because I've heard a lot of talk and I just want to show people.
Well, what's crazy about that, too, is he led the USHL in scoring last year as a draft-eligible player. Like, he was in some rare era. Like, you run through the names of USHL players that have done that as a draft-eligible in their 17-year-old season. Like, he had a pretty special year last year and might be one of those guys that is coming in under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and he certainly, I sense that he feels that way from his words today.
Sam Morton is a guy that I'm really interested in, guys. He is going to be centering Calgary's number one line for the Friday game against Winnipeg here at the Young Stars. He jumped in from playing NCAA hockey at Minnesota State Mankato. Jumped right in and had 5 goals and 7 points in 13 games with no adjustment time from college to the American League.
Mm-hmm.
He was immediately counted on that team to add a little offense. He just turned 25 years old this summer. He's got confidence, but he's also pretty humble and eyes wide open about this situation. He's been in Calgary full-time since development camp, so he has not gone back. He's been in Calgary full-time. He's been working his tail off. He was the number one testing guy for the Flames at their prospects testing earlier this week. I think that there is something sneaky with Morton
here.
I wonder, like, this guy is going to be counted on for huge minutes on the Wranglers this year. I don't think we're talking about him being NHL ready. And going back to earlier in the hour, I don't think there's a forward on this Young Stars roster that's going to be starting in the NHL. But boy, oh boy, do I think they might have found something sneaky with Morton. I really wonder about that. And I think this could be a huge year for him in the American League.
Be pretty surprising if he didn't stand out, given the fact that, like you said, he's one of the oldest players in the entire tournament.
And that's the other thing, is that he's the oldest guy, their oldest forward, I think the oldest guy other than Murphy on the team. Yeah. And I also think that that's going to make him stand out in a tournament where, you know, the Flames have got, as we've mentioned, a lot of 18-year-olds. So now here's a 25-year-old. That's a big gap. I think
Huge.
That he's got a chance to really pop at this event as well.
He's going to play with Stromgren and Matvei.
and Matvei.
On that top line, second line is Hanzek on the left, Lipinski in the middle, and Basha on the right. Siona, Misa, and Battaglia is the third line. Bell, Silje, and Lang is the fourth line. But, I think the focus will be those blue liners, right?
Yep.
Grushnikov and Burstavich. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. That could take me 40.
It's a lot of consonants and a lot of vowels.
It could take me 40 games to get that spelling bang on without some spell check. And then that second pairing of Jormo and Parekh. And then the third one is Etienne Morin. Listen.
We haven't even got to him.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. This is where, obviously, the strength of the organization is moving forward. Morin's a guy who's posted crazy numbers offensively as well over the years. We're not even talking about him because of the acquisition of Burstavich.
Well, and don't forget about Muse, who was drafted this year and was sixth in OHL defense scoring.
It's amazing.
This year.
So between Burstavich, Parekh, and Muse, those three guys that make up the entire right side of this team's blue line today, they were top six in OHL defenseman scoring this year, all three of them. One was number one, one was two, one was six. That's pretty incredible collection. So, yeah, we don't even talk about him right now. Yep. So, again, there are some people I've heard criticize, well, they drafted too many defensemen. They got too many good defensemen. No such thing. For an organization especially that wants to build up the middle, starting with your goalie, then your blue line, then center, then wings, and I think most people around the National Hockey League would agree that that's there's your priority.
That's the formula,
Yeah. Listen, they still have holes in the middle. There's big question marks for goaltending. On the wings, I'm not sure this team matches up with many in the National Hockey League. But on the blue line, I'm not sure the Calgary Flames would trade their blue line prospects with anybody else's in the league.
Good to do this in person and do it here in Penticton. Thank you, EF. Enjoy your weekend in the South Okanagan, hey?
Yeah, you too. Enjoy this action. And I'm really sorry that lunch fell through today for you to join Vixie and I. It really is a
Did
shame.
Did you forget to hit send on that text or what happened?
Unfortunate, okay. Yeah. Cell coverage is spotty here in Penticton.
No, just when everything's going right, everything goes the other way for me.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You like that? Eric Francis and Aaron Vickers along with us this hour. The Eric Francis Hour wraps up. Eric Francis on Twitter, at Eric Francis. Vix is on Twitter, at AA Vickers. And the Eric Francis Hour is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Take the short drive to Lacombe and check out live standard bred racing every weekend at Track on 2. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18+. Please play responsibly.